Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and the coming Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So as we've been saying, this is we're near the end of our Advent season, and this is the last Sunday in Advent. And so I hope that this sermon series that we have been going through has prepared you for the Christmas day, the day when we remember and receive anew Christ as a baby born for our salvation. And so we've spent some time looking at some different things that we use to decorate and how they remind us and point us to Christ. If you remember, we talked about evergreens and the life that they bring and how Christ brings eternal life. And then we moved to lights, which are on the Advent wreath and also on the tree, and that Jesus is the light of the world, come to replace the darkness of sin. And so as we've moved through these symbols, and we get now to the creche, the manger scene, we've gone from abstract to a little more concrete. So now today, we are very, very concrete with our symbol. I don't know whether that was intentional or not in the crafting of the series, but I think it's important that we recognize that, because that is what this whole time really should help us to recognize, that as the people Israel waited, at first it was very abstract, this idea of a Savior come, a Messiah coming to them. And as time progressed, God got very concrete, to the point where he brings us the actual physical Christ. And so today we look at the creche. And Molly has a slide for us to help us to know where we're going. So as we look to the creche and as we understand it and its meaning for us, it confesses and it helps us to confess then the unity of the faith, the historicity of the gospel, I know that's a big word, we'll get there, and the mercy of our God. The unity of the faith. You see, the manger scene bridges all language and cultural barriers. It doesn't matter whether you speak English or whether you speak French or Spanish, or any number of different languages. We have people in here that speak multiple languages. I'm thinking especially over here. Freddie, you know, we've got multiple languages even in this room right now. But in our world, we have a plethora of ways to communicate. And everybody can look at a nativity scene and we can all understand what it means. And it helps us to recognize that our one true faith is centered in the promise of a Messiah come for us. Now, it does more than just reaching across language and cultural barriers, but it also reaches across time. Whether it's Isaiah, through whom God offered this sign to Ahaz, or Mary and Joseph, who received the revelation from an angel that Mary's child was the fulfillment of God's promise, whether it was Matthew who wrote it down, or John in our epistle lesson who testified to what he had seen and heard. The church has been proclaiming throughout all time and will continue to proclaim throughout all time, Jesus Christ, born as a baby, as the manifestation of God's gift of eternal life for you. And so every time we look at the manger scene, whether we realize it or not, that is what we are confessing. The unity of God's promise throughout all ages to all people. But it's not some promise that's rooted in myth or legend or isn't true. No, the creche confesses the historicity of the gospel, that these things happened. We see the proclamation of Christ, as John described, as a representation of God's work in a specific time, at a specific place, with specific people. Jesus' story is not mythology. It's not legend. It is greater than that. It is the story, the true story of the infinite coming down to dwell as finite with us. So many other religions and people have stories and things that never happened. Stories of gods that are great and big and up in different places. But the story of the Nativity tells us that our God is a God who wants to be with us, desires to be with us, so much so that he became one of us and dwelt in human flesh. And John tells us this much when he says, that which was from the beginning, from before time, that which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and touched with our hands concerning the word of life, the life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testify to it and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. Every year when we decorate our homes with the scene of a manger, we confess that these events took place. Just as God had foretold them, they happened and they have meaning for us even today. Because the creche tells us of the mercy of God. You know, there are countless ways that God could have sent his Son into the world. He's God after all. He can do anything that he wants to, right? But he chose, he planned, he ordained for his Son to be born humbly, to be born poor, to be born as one whom no one could really look on and see anything in him spectacular on the surface. He was a regular baby, conceived miraculously. He's a baby boy, just like any of us men and boys in this room were born in the same way he came into the world. Jesus could have been born the baby of a king, the baby of Caesar. He could have manifested himself at age 30 if he wanted to. He could have just shown up. And yet, he chose a humble birth, a humble upbringing. And that confesses to us his mercy. Martin Luther's Christmas book says it this way: see how God invites you in many ways. He places before you a babe with whom you may take refuge. You cannot fear him, for nothing is more appealing to a man than a babe. Are you affrighted? Then come to him, lying in the lap of the fairest and sweetest maid. You will see how great is the divine goodness, which seeks above all else that you should not despair. Trust him. Trust him. Here is the child in whom there is salvation. To me, there is no greater consolation given to mankind than this, that Christ became a man, a child, a babe. You see, this child born in Bethlehem is the first token of God's mercy, because he did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that through him the world might be saved and that we would know his love. Jesus came and lived among us. Jesus taught among us. And then Jesus bled and died for us on the cross, that we might have eternal life. And then Jesus was raised to life again as the firstborn from the dead, a sure and certain promise, just as sure as certain as his appearing in the manger, that God's word is true and that he has made a way of salvation and forgiveness and everlasting life, and that that is for you. You can't do anything to earn it. You can't do anything to earn a child. You have to trust God for that. You can't do anything to earn salvation. No, it is given to you freely at the cost of Jesus' life, but at the power of God for resurrection. And so I pray that as you gaze upon the tree, if you could see it, the window behind it, and everywhere in this Christmas season, when you look at a manger, know in your heart that God loves you as he has loved all human creatures throughout all time, because he specifically sent his son into a time and a place that he knew that he would, to give us grace and mercy and forgiveness and the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.